Welcome to the Higher Ed, Higher Purpose podcast, a podcast designed for NACAP members, prospective students, and their families.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Higher Ed, Higher Purpose podcast. My name is Phil Cook. I'm so pleased to be your host and have another episode with you today.
And I'm Heidi Sturm, the Director of Marketing and Communications, and we're just so happy that you're joining us today.
And as you've known from our last podcast, we're promoting the NACAP annual conference that will be taking place at Westmont College in June. And so we're so pleased today to have Dean Wilson with us. Dean, I'll do a formal intro in just a second, but let me just say welcome to you. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thank you. Great to be with you guys.
I mentioned to Dean earlier that he's a real television guy, so we're going to do our best to serve him well. But let me tell you, let me say that Dean is a graduate of Westmont College. He's had a varied career of success at Wall Street with Morgan Stanley. He started several startup ventures in real estate, security, and technology, founded a ministry called Behind Every Door, which helped revitalizing transformation neighborhoods in Dallas, Texas. But he returned to Santa Barbara, where he lives now, and he assumed the leadership at the Turner Foundation, which introduces impactful initiatives providing hopeful housing to homeless youth. But he also founded and currently hosts Good Life Television, a local television show and platform showcasing inspiring stories globally to encourage, honor, and educate and empower. He's a sought-after speaker in recent years, telling his own personal story of redemption and grace, as well as talking about loving leadership. Dean and his wife, Susan, have been married for 26 years and have five children. Dean, thanks once again for being with us. We're so glad you're going to be a part of the annual conference at your alma mater. You're a Westmont guy, right?
I am, through and through. We've had seven family members attend Westmont, including my mom, who was 1967. She was the last homecoming queen at Westmont College.
Really?
So I always say that they couldn't improve on her, so they shut the program down.
Well, that's about the right time when that was happening, right? 76 homecoming queens. And yeah. This wasn't on our docket, but do you remember making the college choice, Dean? What was that like for you? What went into, we're talking to enrollment counselors from around the country here who will be at our conference and college counselors, how did the college selection process work for you?
Yeah, I'm a Southern California guy, so I was, UCLA was kind of always on my mind growing up, and a few other of the UC system schools. But then, Westmont had always been, like I said, it's kind of in our blood a little bit. And so of course my mom, had a bias, and what I remember, people saying is just the people you're going to be around, the friendships, which was good advice. The friendships that I'm on a text chain this morning with, seven guys that I was in a small group with for 3 years at Westmont, and so it's now 30 years of friendship. And I've realized that was the rare, of course, I'll start by saying I found my wife there. That was first and foremost. But just, these friendships that you can't put a price tag on. And so the Westmont experience. So when our first born daughter was making her choice, that was my speech to her. And I said, it's who you're going to be around. It's who you're going to meet. It's the quality of these people and the friendships. And so thankfully she decided to go the Westmont route as well. And she graduated last year and she had a great experience. And so there's great richness at Westmont College for us. There's great memories. That gym that we'll be meeting in is full of memories for me. And, three times a week we were in chapel in that building. And so it's a special place. Westmont College, if you haven't been to the campus, is one of the most beautiful places you'll ever be. It's like the Garden of Eden. I mean, truthfully, my oldest daughter got married 2 months ago. We did the pictures on campus at Westmont. That's how beautiful it is. So if you're deciding to go have your wedding pictures on a college campus, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful place. And of course, Santa Barbara, and it's a little gray and gloomy behind me right now, but I know by the time you guys get here, it'll be blue skies and beaches and beautiful. So we can't wait to welcome everybody.
Well, we know it's better than Indiana, Minnesota, where Heidi and I are. I'll say that. Well, and the reason I ask that, Dean, is you're one of us. You are our people. And so we're thrilled that you're going to get to come and share your experience. And we'll get to that experience in just a moment about your keynote address. But talk a little bit about your experience. I talked in the bio a little bit, but you've done a lot of things professionally. Take a moment and just tell our listeners about what you've done professionally across the board that brings you to your career, and then even the ministry part of what you're doing as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I did go to work at a Wall Street firm out of Westmont. We got married and so, yeah, I was in that business for 8 years. I was in Silicon Valley in 1997, which was a really interesting experience because of the boom mm-hmm. that happened. And so there was a lot of huge learning experience, and it was a great season for me professionally. I was very close to going into management with the firm Morgan Stanley where I was. I elected not to do that, but it was a good experience. You know, the whole Wall Street. I'm a pastor's son. I didn't know a stock from a bond. You know, I didn't grow up reading the Wall Street Journal. You know, I was just reading the LA Times sports page. That was and so for me, and at Westmont, I was a communication studies major. I had a couple of business classes, but I wasn't. I really kind of learned on the job, and so I was grateful to be successful. It ended up that business ended up bringing me back to Santa Barbara, which was a wonderful thing. We were able to come back here. So I had that great experience. I've always had a heart for people. I've increasingly in my life experiences had a heart for hurting people. I've had a heart for, broken situations. I've had a heart for people who are struggling. And I don't know, exactly where that came from. But then with some life experiences that we've had, which I'll share about, it's gotten even more where my heart is with hurting people, broken people, poor people, struggling people, addicted people, special needs families, just people that are, that are struggling. And I made a decision in, it was about 2005 to step out of the Wall Street corporate world. And I've been doing kind of kingdom entrepreneurial projects ever since. They've been largely centered around real estate, but both here in California and in Dallas. So it's been a really rich experience. It was kind of a way to use. There's been several projects, but the one that you referenced called Behind Every Door in Dallas, and then now the Turner Foundation here in California. We're using low income housing communities to bless and serve and care for and love people, especially kids. Mm-hmm. And so we found that there's an opportunity with apartments to make a big difference, because that's where a lot of these folks that need help and need love live. And so, and we're not A class and B class apartments. We're down, C minus. And in Dallas, I would say the ones we bought was more like a D or F, but wow, it was, tough. But when you own and operate those apartment complexes, the ability you have to love and bless people is just enormous. I mean, you have access, they're there, you have access. And so whether it's a new appliance or, kids programs or tutoring or, music, art, all these different things we found that we could do to bless and love the people, it just really captured me. And so that's what we've been doing. I have done a few other startup ventures, and I can get excited about something and run with it. So we've had some ability to do that as well. But I love what we're doing here in terms of, this real estate vision to love people. You mentioned the TV show about 5 years ago. We had this idea about bringing some goodness, bringing some light, bringing some great stories to media and to the airwaves and to the all these different platforms now that exist. And so we've been doing that. We've had an amazing run with incredible people. It's not about famous people necessarily, but we interview people from all walks of life. And every single time I get an opportunity to do this, it's always my favorite one. Like after I get done, I'm like, that was the best one ever. Like it was, and again, you know, we do have some famous people, but it's mostly not famous people. It's mostly the lady who's been operating the food, you know, pantry and clothing closet in anonymity in Oxnard, California for 20 years that you've never heard of. And when you, but when you hear her heart and her story, you're just going, what? Or it's the couple that's adopted and had extreme difficulty in the road, but they carried on and they keep going. Or it's the entrepreneur that's building something, or it's the police officer that has served on a difficult beat for 27 years and you never hear his story. You know, that was one of them, that episode, you know, was watched widely. It was just this guy, Officer Gutierrez, like he, nobody knew who he was. But I found that, you know, these are all children of God. And every single person, there's gold. There's gold. They're made in the image of God, even if they're struggling, even if they're whatever. And so my job, when I started this, it was Proverbs 20, verse 5, the purposes of a man or woman's heart are deep waters, and the one with insight draws them out. So I feel like every single time I'm kind of like reaching down to figure out, you know, who is this person? Who has God made? Where's the genius in this person? And every time it comes out, I feel like it's amazing. And so, you know, a 92-year-old man down to a 16, 17-year-old kid. So it's been really fun. There's so much goodness. There's so many great people out there. And people say, well, how long do you do this? I'm like, well, God can stop anytime he wants, but there's like 7 billion people on the planet. So I'm not going to run out of, I'm not going to run out of guests. You know,
And so many of them live in Southern California too. So you've got to head start that right here too. So
we got a lot of people.
You're listening to the Higher Ed, Higher Purpose podcast.
As you're talking about that, first, I'm thinking, well, from one PK to another here, I want to dig in and push in a little bit on the gold for you. You mentioned this, but what's driving you this? Your personal story is moving, and you shared with us prior to this. What drives you to do this? What's the impetus? What's been the catalyst that took you from the success of Wall Street to say, I want to do this? What's the story there for our listeners, Dean? What would you share with them about that?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. Yeah, I mean, part of my story, there's kind of been two signature kind of parts of this story. One is we had a special needs child 22 years ago who wasn't supposed to live and had 2/3 of her brain wiped out in utero. She had a massive stroke and it was mind-boggling. And of course, you know, we're pretty young kids at the time and we're faced with this, you know, life-altering situation, which thousands of people have this experience in being born with the children with a child with difficulties. But we saw miracles in the process. But fundamentally, the biggest miracle was what happened within our life, and as parents, you know, as people, it changed our perspective. It changed our perspective. She's taught us more. This little girl who's still learning how to walk. She's 22 years old. You know, her name's Ella Claire. And again, I interviewed her on my TV program, and again, you know, mind-boggling. But she hears from the Lord. She's taught us more than any other person in life. So it was a tenderizing thing. It was significant suffering. It was significant trial. It was testing. It was tiring. But now, 22 years later, we're going, oh my gosh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for choosing us. So that was a significant experience for us, me as a person and my wife. And you know, I think 70 or 80% of families with a special needs child divorce, it can be a bomb, you know, that people experience. And then the second thing that happened is I almost completely blew my life up with an alcohol addiction. And so 14 years ago, I walked into a treatment center by the Guadalupe River in South Texas, and had completely done, you know, had done a lot of damage to a lot of people, a lot of things. I just got going. It was kind of like a frog in a frying pan experience for me. I didn't have a drink till I was 21, but I kind of crept up on me where I was dealing with stress and with alcohol. And then next thing you knew, I couldn't imagine not having a drink in a day. And it it crippled me, and the devil was on. I gave the devil a foothold. I made the choices, and but the devil certainly was in the process of completely tying me up. It was like a rope that was going around that was getting tighter and tighter and tighter, and I didn't know a way out. And so I petrified, walked into a treatment center in South Texas, and was away from my family for 51 days, not knowing kind of really what was going to happen. And it was a scary thing. It was obviously, literally a sobering thing. And I had an experience with the Lord that I'll probably share, where I encountered the mercy of God in a way that I'd never had. I was on the floor of my one-room cabin, on my face, which I was oftentimes weeping in this one particular night. I was lonely. I was embarrassed, humiliated, a broken person. And I had an encounter with the mercy of God, and I'll save that story, but it was life altering for me. And ever since then, it's not been the same. You know, when I really needed grace, when I really needed mercy. And so I started to look at the people that we were serving also differently, because I was like, you know, we all think we're kind of 10 foot tall and bulletproof, but we're all this close to, you know, it happened to me, you know, I was type A and let's go conquer the world. And then you realize, good grief, I can't tie my shoes. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm, you know, just a train wreck. But it was obviously humbling, but it was also like one of the most freeing experiences, because a lot of my identity that was built on certain things was stripped. It was like a stripping process. And so now I was just Dean. I wasn't Dean with this and this or Wall Street or all these different things. I was just Dean. And I literally thought I might walk out of there with nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know. And when you get to that place where like, and then because after that encounter, that one night, and then I kept going, I came to be okay somehow, which is sounds weird, but I came to be like, okay, like God loves me and like, I'm okay. And, but it was like stripped down. And then my heart, which was already for hurting people, broken people, of course, special needs families. Now my heart, I mean, I talk about tenderized and like, it was just a different thing. And so now, you know, when I would see, you know, these guys that were in the meetings with us at these apartment complexes or whatever, like I was one of them. I wasn't, you know, above anybody. Like it was a life-changing experience. So those two experiences of suffering, one self-inflicted, one not, were life transforming for me. And it got me thinking a lot. I'll say this about my experience. I had an amazing experience at Westmont and amazing mentors. And in fact, the chaplain of Westmont College was named Bart Tarman when I was there. I'm in treatment. He's in California. To this day, he found out I was there. I get a note in the mail. I went to check my mail. Not a lot, you know, these days get long when you're in treatment. No phone, no technology, no music, no, you know, the days are long. So like one of my outings was, I'm going to go check the mail, you know, at the front counter, see if anybody, well, there was never anything there. Like, I mean, truth be told. Like, but this one day I get a card. It's from Bart Tarman, chaplain, Westmont College.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm so proud of you. And I was like, not feeling proud of myself. Like, I'm like, who in the world would be proud of me at this? That was a spectacular moment for me. But what I was going to say is, you know, I think one of the things I encountered that, in a really real way that I don't think when I graduated from Westmont, I was expecting was suffering.
Yeah.
And how do you, you know, this is the abundant life. This is victorious Christian living. And I believe that, but at the same time, we're on planet Earth, you know, like, yeah. And there is significant suffering that comes the way of everybody. It may not be a, you know, I'm kind of a drama queen with these addiction and, you know, but like the average person, I mean, there's broken relationships, friendships go south. You just can't imagine why an early death, the death of a child, a special needs child, the business goes bad apart. Like all this stuff happens. We have to have our feet on the ground. And so and what I came to conclude, and when I shared my testimony about 2 years ago at the Santa Barbara prayer breakfast. There's 500 people. I decided nobody knew about this part of my story. And I said it out loud, which was with fear and trembling at the time, kind of like, am I ruining my career? But I just did it, you know. But as I was preparing for that, I came to a really great clarity about how the abundant life, right, the good life with God, that includes suffering. And suffering is never meaningless in the kingdom of God when he rules and reigns, because he, all things work together for good. And so there's a something to be learned. There's something, there's a bigger story that we may not see. At the time when I was in the ICU praying over Ella Claire, our daughter had a massive stroke in the womb, I wanted healing. I wanted instant healing. I didn't get it.
Yeah.
Instead, we got something far better.
Yeah.
22 years of walking this out and life changing, and it's changed our whole family. I have a daughter, our oldest daughter, the one that got married, is now working for Johnny Erickson Tata in Thousand Oaks because she has a heart for special needs families. And all of this richness and stuff that comes out of the larger story that God is writing. So he's not surprised. It doesn't sneak up on him. But the I think for young people, I talk about this all the time, that the good life, the good news here is that God's with you and he's going to be with you and he's got a plan and a purpose and a larger story. The tough news is on planet Earth, you're going to encounter suffering. Get ready. You know, and you don't, it's not a boogeyman behind every bush, but there's suffering. And so I try to bring those two together in a way that is, because I think everybody's looking for the good life, but they go, well, how can it be good? Or they think, well, these Christians are just all perfect. And so therefore, and I'm like, no, you know, but there's this wonderful, good, abundant life that includes suffering available with God in the person of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, and amazing things can happen. So those two signature things for me really changed our life and it really changed my heart. I'll say that.
Well, we're talking today with Dean Wilson, who is the founder and currently hosts Good Life Television, who will be speaking in our first keynote of the first night of our conference at Westmont College. Heidi?
And we're so looking forward to hearing more of your testimony. And you're so right. I mean, there's so much hurt and just sin in this world. And we don't know what people are going through and just how God can redeem our stories. And so I am so looking forward to hearing your entire keynote. As we kind of wrap things up, what do you hope attendees will take away from your keynote address?
Well, yeah, I would say I'm excited about sharing. Of course, you know, it'll be kind of my testimony woven throughout. But I mean, where my testimony points is God, is the heart of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God, the provision of God, in a real way, because it's my story. And I hope it's an encouragement. I hope it's an inspiration for professionals who are involved, of course, giving their life to young people, and many, it sounds like in many of these cases, because there's such an opportunity with the space that you all are in. There's such an opportunity to impart, you know, so much. And so I hope to encourage, I hope to inspire, I hope to talk about God in a way that people can relate to, and if whether they've experienced him in that way or not. But I'm a truth teller, and I think the power for all of us, I think there's such great power in the testimony. So my testimony will be woven in, you know, my life since I was in that gym that we'll be in, you know, 30 years ago, kind of what's happened since. And of course, I'm a big believer in Christian higher education, Christian high school. I'm a big believer in that. Huge. And so I'll share a little bit about that, but also just my story. And I hope my story points to God in a way that's powerful. You know, when I shared my testimony at that prayer breakfast, that I kept hearing kind of in my mind was, you know, don't make this about you and your strengths, make this about me and your weaknesses, which it's not often you know, that's, you know, I'm like, are you sure? You know, because normally people want to hear, you know, I'm good at this and I'm good at that. You can be too, you know, but mine's kind of not that way. Mine's kind of a, you know, Here's what happened with me, and here's how God met me, and here's what I experienced, and this is what's available to all those young people who are coming through. Here, this is what we need to talk to them about. I think authenticity is something that, especially in this younger generation, is so important. And so I think it's okay to say it out loud. I had a problem. Like, mm-hmm. I screwed up, you know, yeah. or you know, in the case of our daughter, it happened to us, you know, and it's yeah. happening to people all over the world. And so what do you do when that happens? You can't, you know, my message is, you know, you don't just throw your faith overboard. I mean, this is the time when you go deep. This takes you roots deep with God when he's met you in the worst moment, you know. And he, of course, he's there on the mountain. He's rooting for you, whether you're doing great or not. But he's, man, is he there on those, in that cabin in South Texas when you think that the whole world's over and you're on your face, man. So I hope that this, you know, is an inspiration for folks, and that they leave not only enjoying the beauty of Santa Barbara and all your great content that's going to be coming, but I hope that they're inspired, encouraged by my story.
Well, we've been inspired today, honestly, and to inspired in this moment, confident that our attendees will be. You are the son of a Westmont alum, the alum yourself, and then the father. You are us. And so we're so glad that you've been authentic and transparent with us today, Dean. And we look forward to seeing you on the campus at Westmont June 3rd through the 5th for our NACAP annual conference. Dean, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you, guys. Can't wait to see you.
Thanks, Dean. We'll see you soon.
Be sure to join us next time for the Higher Ed, Higher Purpose podcast.